Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast, and this is our fall TV preview. What are the most anticipated TV shows for the remainder of the year? Let's find out. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, I'm my fellow host, Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello. He's doing that because I was here on time.
Troy Heinrichs.
Technically, I was here first before everybody,
but it's
fine. The last shall be first and the first shall be last.
Look. we're just ecstatic that Amanda is here and on time.
And on time multiple weeks in a row.
Early.
Now.
You were early. Not just on time.
I did hit the button before 10.
No. Early is on time. On time is late.
John is absent. That's all I know. If anybody's wondering, he's still on sabbatical. He'll be back at some point. I couldn't tell you when, but he'll be back.
You can always talk to him in the Facebook group at The Hollywood Outsider.
There you go. Nice plug. Well, remember, you can always find more information at TheHollywoodOutsider.com. You can join our Facebook group, like Troy just said, The Hollywood Outsider, and we're on your social medias. But this is just a fall TV preview because there is so much television still every frickin' year. It's getting crazier, and I love that our fall TV is no longer network TV. In fact, we have hardly any recommendations for network TV. I'm just letting you know.
I purposely avoided it because I didn't want to have to go back to watching network TV.
Well, you have a contract with Apple, I'm pretty sure, at this point.
I do.
You just, you know, have to mention them pretty often. But we're going to talk about what are the most anticipated new shows specifically, and then also we're going to talk about some returning shows and our listener top five from our Facebook group poll. So, if you guys are ready, I'm ready to get into it. We're gonna have the title, the description, what network or streamer it's on, and the premiere date. So if you want to get a little notebook, you can write it down. I'm not gonna sit there and do it for you. That's on you. But if you hear something interesting, make sure you write it down. We're gonna tell you when it starts and where it will stream or air. Got it?
This is your one disclaimer. Premiere dates are subject to change.
We should do that. You just did it. I think we're covered, right?
We're good.
So if it moves, that's on Troy. It's really none of us. We have nothing
covered us by saying it might move. He actually did his work.
Yep.
Good job.
It probably will move. Most of them do. All right. So we're going to go round robin for our first five. So we're going to have over 20 new shows for you to check out, right? And I can't believe that is just the best of what's coming out. There are so many freaking television shows. What are we at, Trey? Like 500 scripted shows now?
600, I think, now.
Where's the money coming from? I ask this every year. Where's the money coming from? Where?
I still don't understand how the business works, and I have a degree in it.
I don't. Troy loves it. He's just like a Harvard grad.
Should you have gotten the degree then?
he loves to tell you what his degree is. All right, so I'm going to start with The Last Frontier, which comes out October 10th on Apple TV Plus. That's right, Troy's not getting that residual from this one. This is and if you're new to the show, the joke there is because Troy always mentions Apple TV shows. He's in love with Apple TV. It's his favorite streamer. Stuff.
I'm telling you.
Loves it
does not. Netflix is pretty high ranking.
More shows.
Apple TV Plus has a lot of really good quality for the few quantity of shows that are actually worth watching.
And they have eight movies available. Eight.
In total.
Total.
Across all genres.
Yes.
It's not called Apple Movie Plus. It's called Apple TV
it's
Plus.
Definitely
you don't
not.
Need movies to have a streaming service.
Last time I looked at their top 10, they still had a Justin Timberlake movie from like 4 years ago that was listed in their top 10. I'm like, you don't
They're
have
gonna
many
bring
new
back
movies.
The Crossroads Britney Spears movie. It's like one of their top lists.
There's something new to watch every week of the year.
It's funny. But they do have a lot of quality TV shows, including Last Frontier from the Blacklist creator John Bokenkamp. So I'm going to talk about this a little deeper in a second, but I want to give you the plot. So U.S. Marshal Frank Remnick, who's played by Jason Clark, is working in the usually quiet Alaskan Barrens. And following, it's like Fairbanks, Alaska. Following the crash of a prison transport plane, violent inmates are released into the wild. And per the notes, Frank begins to suspect the crash wasn't an accident, but the first step of a well-crafted plan with far-reaching and devastating implications. So here's what I want to tell you. Before we get too deep into this, we are friends with John Bokenkamp. We've seen the show already. We are embargoed, so I can't tell you much about it. But Troy
you're
and
so
I
so fancy. That's why right. was my invitation?
Hang on, let me get
Mr.
this.
Mr. Bokenkamp.
Where's that freaking? Oh, I got that name. It's back in my pocket. All right. No, but the reason why I'm telling you is I'm not hearing a lot of scuttlebutt about this. I'm sure we all want to get closer to release, but I can't tell you anything other than I really enjoyed it. Okay, I think it's really good. It's very different from what is the typical Apple TV fare. It's a little closer. It's kind of somewhere between what streaming does now and what networks do or used to do. So it kind of has that nice vibe. It's not a procedural. It's more serialized, but it's also, it has that procedural element.
Aaron, give me more. This is so vague.
I can't. I legally can't. But I will tell you that Troy is going to interview John Bokenkamp before the release. I unfortunately will be on vacation that week. But Troy and I will also join together for a review of that. So we will have a full review once the embargo is up. And then we're hoping to have John back at the end of the season when the finale hits to talk about any information that might stem from that.
We should clarify, you are currently seeing this. I have already finished it.
I have finished it, sir.
Oh, you did finish it. Oh, yeah. Wow.
So good. What do you need to clarify, bitch?
I don't. Last time I heard, you were on episode 5. So.
I move fast. You know what I mean? I just dedicated myself. Yeah. But no, I got it, and I'm very happy with it. So that's all I can say. That's all we can say, unless there's anything you can say without spoiling a damn thing, Troy, or actually speaking much to it.
I mean, if you're thinking it's Con Air, it's like Con Air.
No, it's not. I thought so too. That's kind of what I first got excited for. I'm like, ooh, Con Air in Alaska? Love that. It's not.
It's Con Air for like 2 minutes, and then it goes a completely cool direction that was very enjoyable by the end of the series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Season. We don't know if it's picked up for 2 yet because it hasn't premiered yet. So.
Absolutely. But that's The Last Frontier. So check that out October 10th. All right. Who's next? Amanda, you're up.
The Lowdown is coming to FX on September 23rd, a Tulsa noir drama created by Sterling Harjo. I hope I said that correctly.
No.
The Lowdown follows Lee Raybon, who is played by Ethan Hawke himself. We love him here. A self-proclaimed citizen journalist and truth historian whose obsession with uncovering the truth frequently lands him in danger. When Raybon's latest expose, an investigation into the powerful Washburg family, is immediately followed by the suspicious suicide of Dale Washburg, Lee senses a cover-up. As he follows clues Dale left behind, he uncovers that things are darker than they first appeared, especially with Betty Jo Washburg, Dale's widow, more interested in defending her brother-in-law than her husband's memory. Powerful forces want to keep Lee from digging any deeper. Normally, I guess I just want to clarify, normally I'm not like an FX girly. There's been a couple of good shows, but we love Ethan Hawke. And I love the mysterious nature of this show, this concept here. And what's up with Dale's widow?
What's up?
Betty Jo?
What's up with you? I love the idea that we're getting Ethan Hawke. He's very much an indie actor. And other than occasionally he'll drop into horror, but he stays away from blockbuster filmmaking. It's very indie vibe, and this is from the creator of Reservation Dogs, which is a really cool show if you've never seen it. I'm all in. I'm excited for this one. I want to hear what the Lowdown is. Troy doesn't care. He doesn't care about Ethan Hawke.
I don't.
King Kong's got nothing on Troy.
That's right, because King Kong is coming to Derry once again.
What? That was a terrible.
Sir,
okay.
What? Normally that was the worst segue in the entire history.
That was terrible. That was terrible.
Well, the Lowdown is not the only thing that's appearing darker.
just do a normal segue.
Fine. It won't be another retelling of Pennywise the Clown.
It won't
be a look at kids now and adults in the future. It will actually begin to uncover the origins of Pennywise himself as we go back in time to the cycle before it, 1962, as a couple arrives to the town of Derry, Maine, just as a boy goes missing. Welcome to Derry, October 26th on HBO. Yes, that still exists.
Now, HBO Max is pretty popular, so is HBO. I got a question for you. So they have a 3-season plan with this one where the first season 62 and then season 2 would go to 1935 and then season 3 would go to 1908. Cause then you get the Black Spot fire, the Bradley Gang massacre and the Kitchener Ironworks explosion. So you get a lot of the like history of it from the books.
Yes.
Do you like this take on it? Because you're kind of a King purist in a lot of ways, where, you know, when it gets, when they go a little bit too past, look at Under the Dome or whatever, when they get past the book, it just starts getting not great. Where,
well, I mean, the Under the Dome was mostly the book. They just had to make it more interesting to keep it going from a television series perspective. Because it was aliens at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this concept because we've done the, you know, kids and the adults and the two cycles and how he comes back all the time. So this actually shows more the origins of Pennywise. When we get back to 1908, I believe it is, we'll actually get to see where did Pennywise come from. That's the curious thing for me. I'd love to know the origin story of this thing and why it stuck around for as long as it has.
It's dicey though, right? Because when you start...
It's a challenge.
One of the appeals to a lot of, you know, kind of like Terrifier and Michael Myers and stuff like that is the lack of backstory makes them more terrifying. Once you start filling in all those gaps, they always become less terrifying. That's what I'm worried about.
Terrifying is interesting. It's always an interesting creature. Pennywise is definitely, the terrifying comes in the way they tell the story and visually show it. So as long as the story is good and the visuals are good, because I would say It Chapter 2 was not very scary.
It was not. Over-reliance on special effects, for sure.
Yeah. So I think if they just tell a good story is always going to work.
That one will always make me mad because they had the best cast. Basically, they had fan casting. And yeah. they just relied so much on special effects because they're like, oh, the first one made so much money, let's spend more. No, dial it back, man. Dial it back.
Yeah, spend less. Make a profit.
Well, and
that's how business works.
It just makes them focus on making it better, I think, when your budget is... What was Jackie Chan says? They give too much money is usually a bad thing.
You get Joker full of do.
True story. All right, so we're back to me. Down Cemetery Road, October 29th on Apple TV. That's right, I got two Apple TVs in a row. My check better clear. So this 8-episode thriller follows Sarah Tucker, who hires a private investigator to help search for her missing neighbor, and quickly this pair finds themselves in a complex conspiracy that reveals people long believed dead are still among the living, while the living are fast joining the dead. Thoughts on this? Anybody excited? I mean, it stars Emma Thompson. Did that get you going? Ruth Wilson. Now here's why it caught my eye.
That's an interesting matchup.
It is. Well, the reason why it caught my eye is I love Ruth Wilson. I don't know if you ever watched Luther or anything like that, but I think she's a fantastic actress. And Emma Thompson just never fails, right? So it's an interesting pair up, like you said. But also, I just don't see Emma Thompson doing anything that isn't extremely original. She doesn't need to, you know? She's at that point in her career.
Yeah, I mean, this feels like it's not people coming back from the dead, like a returned or resurrection type series, but they're also like the living are also joining the dead. So there might be some zombie type situation killing. So it's an interesting combo. So for that, I'm definitely going to be in for at least a couple episodes.
Maybe it is about the dead coming back. We don't know yet. Do we? Yeah. I guess you can go read the book and find out pretty quick.
Sure. Why would I do that? I'll just wait till October 29th.
That's what I said. There's 8 episodes. I'll just wait there. I feel like it's going to be faster. Reading. All right, Amanda. What do you got? What's next for you?
All right. So coming to Netflix on October 3rd is Monster, the Ed Gein story. Mm-hmm. The third season of Netflix's Monster anthology takes us to rural Wisconsin in the 1950s to tell them the disturbing true story of Ed Gein, played by Charlie Hunnam. Known for grave robbing, collecting human remains, and committing gruesome murders, Gein lived a reclusive life on a decaying farm, hidden horrors so macabre. Is that how you say that word?
Macabre.
Hidden horrors so macabre that they would go on to inspire some of horror cinema's most infamous characters like Norman Bates, Buffalo Bill. And it is driven by isolation, psychological instability, and an intense obsession with his mother. Weird. Gein's descent becomes both a portrait of a monster's creation and a reflection on the darkness lurking beneath ordinary lives. I am excited for this because if you haven't watched any of the other monster shows on Netflix, you should probably go do that immediately. They're really well done in terms of dramatic storytelling that doesn't it doesn't go dramatic for flair. It is a very intense anthology of shows really diving into some of the most prolific serial killers that we've had in the United States. So I really like the series that they've been coming up with, the casting. They seem to do a really great job with that. When you're talking about the way that they kind of get you to see how others might have not seen the darkness in those monsters, it does come to light for you to understand, okay, maybe this is how people didn't know that they were murdering people, eating their bodies or other things.
Well, I mean, Ed Gein was a very specific kind of character who lived very remotely, too. Gein is a fascinating murderer. And, I mean, you can tell why he's fascinating, because he's, like you said, Psycho, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Silence of the Lambs. I mean, he's inspired a lot of characters in horror because he was so grotesque. Now, the only thing I will say is this is a Ryan Murphy series. I liked Dahmer enough. I think they never really got to the heart of who he was as a person. The Menendez brothers one, I didn't like. I thought they were kind of painting them a little too
nice.
Yes. Like they were just
like too sympathetic to them.
They weren't convicted murderers. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they didn't have horrific childhoods and whatnot, but tell the full story too.
For anyone who doesn't know Ryan Murphy, by the way, American Horror Story.
Yeah, which I don't like.
Plug that.
It's a little too campy for me. I'm not a big fan. That's what I always get worried about with these shows, that it's gonna start denigrating to that. But Charlie Hunnam is inspired casting. That is either going to be great or terrible. And I don't know which way it can go, because he can go either way.
When was the last time he did something notable? I feel like I haven't really seen him do anything of super recent years.
I mean, he was in The Gentleman. He did a pretty decent character, but he's always playing the same character. You know, I don't really see him stretching a lot. So this is a big stretch. And if he's, I'll give him the chance. I don't have a lot of hope, but I'm giving him the chance.
I'm just excited because Wisconsin seems to be the capital of serial killers between Dahmer and now Ed Gein. And I'm from Wisconsin, so I lived a lot of these stories and researched a lot of these stories. And Ed Gein, being from La Crosse, Wisconsin originally, even though he did all the murders in Plainfield, I went to school in the Cooley region. So got to learn a lot about Ed Gein being up in that area for 6 years. So I didn't go to school for 6 years. I was just in the area for 6 years. I did finish in four. Thank you very much.
He wants everyone to know that he went on to obtain degrees. We all, ironically enough, for the three of us, since John's not on this episode, all of us have lived in close enough proximity to where some of these prolific serial killers are from. The other spot that seems to be a hot spot is California.
It's true.
Look out, guys.
I mean, if you drove on the highway, especially Aaron driving with me, you would understand why you'd want to be a murderous person.
Oh my God. Jesus. I mean, if you were ever a serial killer, I assume you'd do it with your car, because that's how terrible you are. Driving.
Just in LA.
But I love that Troy threw in, he did a lot of research. I'm like, what does that mean? That's usually like a terrifying admission. You heard it here first, guys. Breaking news. Dateline.
What was that movie that we saw, Aaron, that we did? No Man of God.
Oh, yeah. Ted Bundy. Yeah. Bundy. Yep.
Go read that review on the Hollywood Outsider webpage.
All right, you're up, man.
I am up, and another monster of the gridiron is going to go ahead and come back to life, because a disgraced college quarterback named Russ Holiday is going to be coming back onto a struggling Southern football team to revive his football career. Steve Zahn is going to be joining Clayne Crawford, as Glenn Powell is going to be Chad Powers. As he tries to reboot his career. And I think it's awesome that Glenn's coming to TV.
Wasn't that a Manning skit or something like that? Like Peyton Manning or Eli Manning, Eli Manning, I think.
Yep, exactly.
I saw an extended preview of this. It looks really good. It looks very funny. Like, it really does.
I feel this is like if Stick was the golf kind of buddy thing, like this is going to be that type of it reminds me of Napoleon Dynamite and his uncle, right? Rico. It's like, right. Rico always saying that he had this like amazing career, and now he's got the chance to prove it. Like, that's kind of what I'm hoping this is
by pretending to be someone else.
Yeah,
you know, it's like Karen Schmodgers is joining the team, you know what I mean? It's just it's funny. I think it'll actually be a lot better than I feel bad, because I think Glenn Powell is in that got too famous too fast, so people are rejecting him phase, you know what I mean? Where people are a little, I'm sick of Glenn Powell. I don't know if that's going to help with the series or hurt it, but we'll see. I like the guy. I think he's very entertaining.
I think he's really great. Those people are crazy.
All right. So All Her Fault hits Peacock on November 6th. Yeah, I still got Peacock, believe it or not. I don't know how much longer
mostly
I'll have it.
Mostly for Natasha Lyonne.
Yeah, exactly. Literally have it for Poker Face, and that's about it. And if they don't renew it soon, I might be, after November 6th, I might be out. You know what
and
I mean?
Sunday Night Football.
I got YouTube TV. I'll be all right. I'll be able to see it.
Do you? Can you share?
I cannot. So the story centers on Marissa Irvine, who's played by Sarah Snook from Succession, as she discovers that the woman who answers the door at the Playdate location has never heard of her son, Milo, and then her son goes missing, basically. So it's a terrifying event plunges Marissa into a desperate search for her child, uncovering unsettling truths about her suburban neighborhood. Also has Dakota Fanning in it. You've got Sophia Lillis, who I like, Michael Pena from Ant-Man. So hopefully he does the narration here. Wouldn't that be great? I don't know exactly what to expect, but I do know that I think Sarah Snook is an extremely great actress, and so is Dakota Fanning. So I look forward to something, a nice psychological thriller, which I love in the fall. In the winter, that's the kind of stuff I love. I eat it up.
Psychological thrillers are always at the top of my list. I love the Ditto. Thinking game. It's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can jump to Peacock for it.
I don't think anyone's jumping to Peacock. That's the problem, right? So you tell people, hey, it's on Peacock, and everybody's like, cool, man. Unless you have Comcast and you get it for like $3, I don't know if you really get too excited about it.
I mean, you get it free if you're an Xfinity subscriber.
Not anymore.
Oh, boy.
Not anymore.
Oh, boy. Not without, I mean, you get it with commercials. You don't get the commercial-free version.
Well, what's the point?
No, you get... I have Xfinity, I'm telling you. They changed that. You have to pay for it now. You actually, it's like $7 or $8 now.
That
like
feels that. Disrespectful.
Feels overpriced.
Well, you know what's not overpriced? HBO or HBO Max or Max, whatever you call it these days.
Be careful, because David Zaslav just said that. And he said, because we know that they love it so much, they'll pay a higher price. Just, you know, that was a recent quote. So don't say you love it that much, because I don't want them blaming us when the price goes up. You guys said.
Fair.
His movie studio is doing really well this year, so mm-hmm. We can charge what he wants, apparently.
So September 7th, we have Task coming to HBO.
So it's already out.
Seven.
It's already out.
Yes. Okay. It is.
Well, it you is. Just said is coming, and I'm like, it came. Sorry. That.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let me rephrase. Task is on HBO as of September 7th.
Okay. Much better.
Okay. Better. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
A 7-episode crime drama from Brad Inglesby, who is the creator of Mayor of Easttown. So if you're a fan of that, you might be a fan of this. Task is set in the working class suburbs of Philadelphia. FBI agent Tom Brandis, who's played by Mark Ruffalo, is placed in charge of a task force investigating a string of violent robberies. Their prime suspect, Robbie, played by Tom Pelfrey, mm-hmm. a seemingly ordinary family man whose desperation, moral compromises, and personal life are under increasing strain. The series explores themes of justice, family, grief, and moral ambiguity as the lives of law enforcers and criminals collide. Ultimately, I'm here because it sounds like we got the FBI, like that, Mark Ruffalo, like that. I didn't see Mayor of Easttown, but, you know, got a lot of notoriety
like
there.
Mm-hmm. You like that?
I like that. I also like Tom. He's good. And also, who doesn't like to see a little bit of conflict amongst your... Actually, I probably shouldn't say that in these times in the United States. We don't like to see conflict at all, ever, period.
I do on TV. I'm not walking away from that. I love conflict on television. It's fictional.
Where it belongs.
Yeah.
Doesn't belong in the real world.
Exactly.
Facts.
There you go.
Facts.
And also, it's ambiguity, but, you know...
It's also Mark Ruffalo.
It is.
It's mostly Mark Ruffalo. Like, if we're being honest, it's mostly Mark Ruffalo.
I would disagree with you. I watched it, and I watched it because of Tom Pelfrey, because I love Tom Pelfrey. If you watch Ozark season 4, he was the brother.
Yep, he was great.
Laura Linney's brother. I loved him in Iron Fist. I think he's a very, very great actor, very talented. And
does he stretch in this, what you saw so much, as much as he did Ozark?
It's a completely different role. It's a completely different role. But he's, what's fascinating about him is he is playing a character who is, you know, he's basically a small-time criminal. And as the series goes, you find out why he's doing the things that he's doing. But he also has a dark streak, and he plays that very well. So you never know. Like, there are times when you're watching the series where you're like very empathetic to him and what he's doing, and then it'll flip on a dime because he does something pretty terrible. So there are elements on both sides. It's a very nuanced performance. Mark Ruffalo plays like loser Mark Ruffalo.
I love Mark Ruffalo. Even if it is just like loser Mark Ruffalo.
Well, it's fun to see the task force put together because you have a old curmudgeon who has his own family drama going on, which is fascinating. And then he's with these young hotshots, and none of them take him seriously because he's an old curmudgeon. I know how this goes.
Have you lived this?
Yeah. Yeah. Shows a little too close to home.
All right. I don't know what to say to that. Well, this person doesn't need a task force because she is a task force of one. Jessica Chastain joins the Apple TV superstardom parade in this crime thriller from Melissa James Gibson, reportedly inspired by a true life story of a Cosmopolitan article from 2019. Hmm. This series tries to prevent murders before they happen. No, it's not Minority Report. Chastain's character does it by actually infiltrating the hate groups online in order to thwart their plans before it happens.
That's crazy. That is, I think...
Feels like something we could use today.
Oh, man, it got way too timely, way too fast, right?
Yeah.
I think this... So, Jessica Chastain, you can't go wrong with. You just can't. I think even that shitty Tammy Faye Baker movie, she was great.
She's great in everything that she does.
Yeah. She knows the stardom.
Yep, absolutely. I'm very excited for that. Good call out. Where are we at? All right, so my next one, I think we've got two.
Oh, left. I should say, that's Savant, September 26th on Apple TV.
Of course it's Apple TV. Man, I hope your check's clear.
You had two. This is only my first one.
I'm just trying to get on the payroll. Jesus, I'm for sale. Come on, Apple, pay up. The Beast in Me, Netflix, November 13th. That's Netflix, November 13th. Howard Gordon's first streaming service tells the story of acclaimed author Aggie, played by Claire Danes, who has struggled to write or really do anything following the death of her son. Enter Niall Jarvis, who's played by Matthew Rhys, played by Perry Mason. He was also on The Americans. A famous real estate mogul who may or may not have killed his wife. He's moved in next door and wants her to write about him. So, yeah, shades of real life fiction, or real life murderers tied into a fictional universe. And I think this just sounds fascinating. And Claire Danes is very talented, and she usually gets her hooks in me pretty quick whenever she's in anything. Matthew Rhys, very underrated. I don't think he ever gets the credit that he deserves. Perry Mason was a great series that nobody watched but me.
Brothers and Sisters.
You liked that a lot, though.
Yeah, but I'm the only one that watched it. Matthew Rhys didn't even watch it. He didn't.
That's funny.
I mean, Matthew's great in Brothers and Sisters. He's also great in The Americans. Like amazing.
He's a wonderful actor. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good watch for sure. And Claire Danes, absolutely. Totally in.
November 13th, Netflix. Beast in Me. Right.
November. Subscribe to Netflix. Got it.
Well, you'll actually want to do it as soon as possible because coming to Netflix on September 18th, or by the time you hear this episode, Black Rabbit.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
Set in New York City's intense nightlife scene, Black Rabbit is a limited series about two brothers, none other than Jude Law and Jason Bateman. Jude is playing Jake and Jason Bateman is playing Vince. They are these two brothers who are co-founders of the trendy VIP lounge restaurant Black Rabbit. Jake's business is on the rise, but when Vince returns with serious financial problems and dangerous debts, their sibling bond is tested. Old traumas and secrets rise to the surface, threatening the business, their relationship, and everything they've built. It's a thriller about trust, family, and how far one will go to hold on to power and reputation. I'm in, baby. I'm in.
That's probably one of my most anticipated TV shows of the whole year, not just this fall.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting for this for a long time. This is one that Jason Bateman is supposedly playing against type for. I've heard from multiple people who have seen the premiere that he is... It's not the Jason Bateman you're used to seeing.
Mm.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Love that. I'm curious.
keep Netflix subscription. Don't cancel in September.
Yep, September 18th.
Well, plus you got, you know, we'll be talking about it later, but you got some Stranger Things coming, you know?
That's why I was resubscribing it in November.
Yeah, absolutely. I get it.
I guess I got to keep it now. It's fine. Good with it. It's okay. Because you could also watch Better Call Saul, right?
I haven't watched that yet. Is it worth watching?
It's, I think it's equally, if not better.
Than Breaking Bad.
I like it so far from what I've watched of it.
Okay. I tried it and I just couldn't get behind it, but I thought Breaking Bad had a slow start, so maybe it was just a slow start.
Sure did, a whole season of it.
Yeah. No reason to yell.
And both those shows are great because Vince Gilligan put them together.
That's true.
And Better Call Saul specifically is great because Rhea Seahorn was in it.
And I see where you're going with this.
Rhea Seahorn and Vince Gilligan are teaming back up again for Pluribus November 7th on Apple TV Plus.
Great segue.
I cannot wait.
Finally got it right.
Cannot wait. It's an interesting take on a super virus concept. It's set in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it follows an author who seems to be the only one immune to the virus. Would that be the unum then to the pluribus? I don't know.
Mm.
But the many that actually get turned infected into perpetually content, optimistic, happy people.
This sounds like a great virus. Can we get it?
I don't know. Too much good could be bad.
I don't know. That's fine.
Right now, arguable.
Yeah, it's arguable. Now, I've watched a trailer for this, and Vince Gilligan, if you don't know, for I mean, a lot of people, they know him from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, but he also was one of the original writers on X-Files. So he has that background, and the new trailer for this gives me X-Files vibes, like very, very deeply. And it feels like a return to that form of storytelling where he's throwing a little science fiction in there in the mix. And she's great, so I think this is going to be a cool show.
God, the teaser is just the lady just sitting there in front of a box of donuts where it says, take one, with a happy face. And she's literally like licking the frosting off of every donut there.
It feels very much like an X-Files episode, like just that vibe. And yeah, I'm curious.
But it is a little more sci-fi-y, which does, of course, fit the Apple TV model.
Well, my last new one, I'm going to have some honorable mentions too, but my last new one is The American Revolution. Yeah, I'm recommending a PBS show on November 16th. I'm doing it. Ken Burns, man. Ken Burns has made the best historical documentaries that you've seen in the last 30 years. And he's doing a 12-hour documentary that explores how the country was founded in its 8-year war for independence. And here's why I think this is important, is because no one seems to understand how the country was founded anymore. Everybody loves to say, well, that's not constitutional, or it is constitutional, and they couldn't tell you a freaking amendment other than the first two if their life depended on it. I think it's always important to know your history, and you can watch it and then go do some more research and find out what's true or what isn't. But I will say Ken Burns has the clout to have me mostly trust just about everything that comes out of it. He researches the hell out of everything and just displays it as is. So I can't wait to see that.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I plead the fifth on how much Constitution I know.
Well, don't incriminate yourself. I see what you did there.
This is going to be good. I think this will be an actually interesting enough show that for our times that we're currently in, that I would actually switch over to find how to watch PBS without a PBS
without
streaming
funding.
Service and without funding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I was curious about too.
Yeah. I'll be honest.
I didn't know they could still do it.
I don't know where, well, they get donations and other funding too, but I don't know how to watch this because I haven't watched PBS. I mean, I'm not a big Sesame Street guy. So I haven't watched
not
a lot
anymore.
Of PBS in a long time.
You said you had YouTube TV, so you'd be good.
Oh, I'm sure I'll find it. I just don't know where. I don't readily know where it is. That's all I'm saying. But I will be finding it. I will be watching this for sure.
All right. So my last one that I have for you today.
Mm-hmm.
3 out of 5 are coming from Netflix. So Troy, keep that subscription. September 25th, we have Wayward coming to Netflix.
I don't know this one.
Ooh, I can't wait to tell you about it.
Oh, okay. But you might. You actually might a little bit.
You might a tiny bit. Created by Mae Martin, Wayward is a horror thriller series blending the supernatural with psychological suspense. The show centers on Alex Dempsey, played by Mae Martin, a police officer, and his pregnant wife, Laura, who moved to Tall Pines, a town that seems idyllic but harbors disturbing secrets.
Oh.
Nearby is a school for troubled teens with a shadowy leader, Evelyn Wade, played by none other than the Toni Collette.
Oh my God, that's going to be awesome.
And two girls from the school, Abby and Layla, attempt an escape, drawing Alex in. As Alex investigates strange incidents, both in the town and at the school, he begins to suspect that the authority he's trusted might be hiding something far more sinister. We have themes of trust, identity, secrecy, and what authority looks like when benevolent facades hide something darker all come into play. Mostly Toni Collette. But we also love a good horror thriller.
You know what's funny is, okay, well, Troy said that, and so I go searching. I'm like, is it based on Wayward Pines, the book? And it's not. It's actually not based on that. It's an original story, but I'm like, well, that feels like a very confusing title then. Because I mean, Wayward, it sounds very Wayward Pines like. It used to be called Tall Pines. I'm like, it feels like you guys are trying to connect it without actually paying any residuals. That's what it sounds like to me. But
it's a cheaper way to go about it.
But it sounds
mysterious
cool.
Town, mm-hmm. Things that go bump in the night.
Wayward Pines was great the first season. Second season, not so much, but that was a cool show. But this sounds, I'll watch Toni Collette paint a fence. So I'm in.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, it has the same description as Wayward Pines, and I loved Wayward Pines, so I'm in.
But it's different.
So I guess Troy's keeping the subscription.
But it's different.
It's different. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Well, I already have my subscription for September, so.
Woohoo, good deal.
I don't have to keep it. I do have a subscription to Hulu, though. Mm. And I think Hulu is an interesting thing to get into this game, because I'm actually really enjoying like the Korean television that's coming out lately. Mm-hmm. And there's a Korean show that just dropped about a skilled diplomat, Seo Mon-ju, played by Jun Ji-hoon, who served as the UN ambassador and an international special agent of mysterious nationality in Seonho, which is by Gang Dong-won. The two embark on a mission to uncover the truth about a deadly attack that actually could threaten the stability of the entire Korean peninsula.
Oh, that sounds cool. It's like 24.
Like 24, exactly. And the best part about this is that John Cho also shows up as Anderson Miller, one of the U.S. ambassador type people joining in the fray. So this has a really good blend of Korean actors and also a really good blend of American actors as well. So if you like The Diplomat, this is kind of in that kind of feels. But yeah, it's a Diplomat meets 24 kind of vibe.
This is Tempest? Is that what
Tempest,
you
okay. Yes.
That sounds interesting.
And it's already out. You can get a couple episodes in already as you hear the podcast.
Excellent. Man, we got a lot of good shows. That's not even all of them. We've also got a couple honorable mentions to talk about. Let's see, now, Troy, why don't you start?
I'll start. Sure. Yeah, yeah. Hotel Costeria. Will premiere September 24th on Prime Video. Mixing action, drama, and comedy, the series is set in Italy following former U.S. Marine Daniel De Luca as he returns to Italy to fix up one of the world's most luxurious hotels in Posenito. And he is also searching for the owner's missing daughter. That's like a Burn Notice.
It does, and I got maybe that kind of vibe, but I also love Italy because I was just there. That was my big vacation, and I'll probably watch anything where they actually show Italy, because now I can tell you if it's real or fake. I mean, I've been watching the Amanda Knox show, and it's like, wow, they really shot that on location. Like, it's beautiful. So I would love to watch that. I don't know about Jesse, though. He's kind of eh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A little eh.
It's okay.
Amanda?
All right. A couple of honorable mentions we have on Peacock. October 16th, Devil in Disguise, John Wayne Gacy.
Mm. More Peacock same... love. Look at that. It's coming around.
And Serial Killer Love? Question mark?
Wink, wink.
Severance's Michael Chernus stars as notorious serial killer John Wayne Gacy, who killed dozens of young men and boys in the 1970s in this dramatized true crime series. If you know anything about John Wayne Gacy, this could be very interesting and also probably very traumatizing for people to watch. But I'm curious to see Michael Chernus in this role, portraying this very notable serial killer. And then we also have
I should say also in the Midwest. He's from Illinois.
Yeah. So
we do have a problem. Maybe we should look into that. We might have a problem.
Live here?
Yeah, might have. A little bit.
I moved away, so I'm safer, I think. Maybe. Coming to Netflix, yes, good old Netflix, September 25th is House of Guinness, Peaky Blinders creator Stephen Knight cracks open a new type of historical drama in this series that follows the four heirs to the Guinness Empire in the 1860s after their father, Sir Benjamin Guinness, dies. Lewis Partridge from Enola, oh my gosh, I cannot say her name, Enola Holmes, and Anthony Boyle from Masters of the Air star in House of Guinness.
I don't honestly care too much, but it's from Peaky Blinders, so I'm curious, put it that way. I'm not excited for that one, but I will watch it. I'm more excited for John Wayne Gacy. And I don't know what that says about me, but I'm like, Ed Gein, John Wayne Gacy, yay, what a great fall. Jesus, Aaron.
You're like, childhood, it's returned.
It's dangerous, that's for sure. It's dangerous. October 9th on Netflix, Boots is coming. It's a coming-of-age story set in the 1990s following a closeted gay man, played by Miles Heiser, who joins the Marine Corps. And it's based on the Greg Cope White book, The Pink Marine. It was one of the last TV shows worked on by the legendary TV producer, Norman Lear. Now, the reason why this kind of appeals to me is I was in boot camp in the 90s, in 93, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a big situation. There were a lot of closeted gay men, not a lot, but there were closeted gay men in the military, and I knew several. And it was, honestly, it was kind of a terrifying time. So I'm hoping that they, just because... hearing some of their experience,
you may want to clarify what was terrifying
for them, because they could not be themselves, right? And it was a time where if they owned up to being gay, at least at the time I was in there, it stopped being where you could just say you were gay. You actually had to be caught violating in action, which is their policy, so violating their policy. And then you would be that. So some people were using that for discharge. Some people said that they weren't gay. They used it to get discharged. And some people were just trying to live their life and hide that from everyone and let no one know that they were gay because they wanted to serve their country. And it was really an eye-opening time, especially if you were in the military and you weren't raised to be bigoted in that way, because there were a lot of people who felt that this was the right policy that were in the military, most honestly. But I knew two that were closeted and gay that were in my barracks. And they, honestly, the guys were cool with them, but there were a couple guys that you knew, make sure they don't find out about it because they'll be the first one to go to the company commander and da 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 da. So it was just, it was a hard, difficult time. And I can't imagine being in those shoes, those boots, if you will. And I want to see if the show captures that, because it's not like that now, but I do hear many people that would love to go back to that. And it just, you know, that kind of talk infuriates me because I've seen it firsthand what it does to people. And it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. That's what I meant by terrible. Sorry, I wasn't trying to be too heavy.
No.
But it's not heavy.
It sounds like it's going to be a riveting series to watch to understand what all went down during that time.
I hope so. I mean, yeah. I just hope it's not just, you know, we're just boils down to cheap jokes. You know what I mean? I mean, it was a very serious time. And I know people think it's no big deal. Don't Ask, Don't Tell wasn't a big deal. But I'm telling you, I saw it firsthand. It was a big deal for the people that had to live that life.
Yeah. Interesting times all around, including currently. Very much like it was about the time of the 20th president, when James Garfield was in office. And they were really on the precipice of figuring out what America was going to look like 100 years after its inception.
Sure.
And trying to plan the future. So why not make a TV show about James Garfield and the man who shot James Garfield, Charles Guiteau, and have it penned by none other than Benioff and Weiss, and bring it to Netflix on November 6th. This is called Death by Lightning, because Garfield didn't get killed by lightning in a kind of weird story that's been told over the years. He actually did get shot. And so it's really a story about the theme and corruption of politics and bureaucracy, and how the idea of civil service is reforming and waging a battle to clean up the government. Sound familiar? This is basically 1881, and it feels like America is sort of standing at a crossroad between the past and what the future of the country could look like. And it's up to the people like Garfield, to tell you what it's really going to look like as they're moving forward and how it's going to be. So I think this is going to be a really interesting look at a 100 years ago, 150 years ago perspective, but look very modern at the same time. So Ben Half and Weiss got their chops cut out for them. I know they can do it. It'll be interesting to see if they can stick the landing with this one.
Well, thank God for Betty Off and Weiss, that book's already been written. You know what I mean?
That was gold.
Well played.
That was really good. Good job, Aaron.
Sure. Sure. I think that sounds very fascinating, honestly. Michael Shannon is Garfield. That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Matthew McFadden is also in here. Nick Offerman shows up as well. Bradley Whitford. Be still my heart.
Man. And Nick Offerman. That guy is so good in whatever he does. He really is. Mm-hmm. I never watched Parks and Rec. Yeah, I didn't. I don't care. I watched like seven episodes and I could not get into it. Everybody keeps saying, just start at season two and you'll love it. And
that's exactly what I told you. Start at season two. That's when they start getting better casting. They start getting their footing in. Like, you can go back to season one if you want to, but you really don't need to. But start at season two and you'll have a fun time.
Season two finally makes it feel like it's its own show versus just a ripoff of The Office, because that's what season one felt like.
My brain makes it very, very difficult for me to start at season two. It's just very hard for me.
You just say season one never existed and you wipe it off the map, like you did with season 9 and 10 of another show.
That's fair. Yeah. All right. Well, that's the list of new shows. I hope that gives you a lot of stuff to look forward to. There's a lot of TV coming. We also have some returning shows we're excited about. Now you can do all of your ones that you're excited for at your turn. So why don't you go ahead, Troy? What are you most excited about returning shows?
Don't steal the one that I already had on my list first, Troy. Okay. I will beat you up.
Well, there's one that Amanda and I are both very excited that's coming back, because it's The Couple of the Millennia for the Millennials. And that'll be on Netflix. I'll let Amanda talk about it, because
you already did. You're already there. Just say it.
This is amazing. We're fighting over who gets to talk about a TV show.
Because we're both so equally in love with everything about
it. I haven't watched it yet.
How have you not watched it yet?
Nobody wants this, for the record, is what we're talking about. October 23rd.
I'm going to speak for the world right now. Whenever people say that, well, how have you not watched whatever this show is? Insert show here. There's 500 or 600 scripted shows out there. I only have so much time, and I don't care about Adam Brody and Kristen Bell coming together. I just don't care.
It's so good. You should be stoned. It's such a good show.
I'm sure it's wonderful. I don't care. I didn't watch Good Place either. Don't care. But I've watched Man on the Inside, like that one. So I'm very weird and picky, I guess.
Well, the Brody and the Bell are coming back for another season, and I can't wait to see what their sisters.
How long does it take for them to get the hook up? Like, they're already together, right? Aren't they together as a couple now at this point?
They're from the go.
Then who cares? What is there to talk about?
If you'd watch it, you'd know.
There's a lot to talk about, because it might branch off in a different direction this season.
Oh, great. They're going to find out that one of their parents died in a fire randomly or something?
It's not that kind of a dark show.
It's actually like it's a feel good comedy with a lot of sassafras, which I love. And it's something I don't know, when it comes to 2025, romance, dating, all of that is horrid. And to see two people who are very, very different find their way together to sorting through any barriers and compromising into what they have in their life. Aaron, I think this in particular is something you could resonate with, actually. And well, because he is a rabbi and she is not religious whatsoever. She's actually a little bit more.
I'm the Kristen Bell in the situation.
Insulting,
is what you're saying.
Some may say. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She had a sex podcast.
Just set it up like a joke. A sex podcaster marries a rabbi.
There you go. But the dialogue is great. There's a lot of good setup. There's these other side storylines that make it fun and entertaining, but it really is
the end of episode two. Comedic. It's really just the end of episode two. You just.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I assume I took the title literally I figured nobody wants this.
Yeah, I guess not.
Yeah. Feels like a bad title.
Oh, it's a perfect title because everybody wants this.
Okay. So October 23rd, Netflix. Got it.
The Morning Show also returns in the wake of everything that happened there at the company and the rise of Jennifer Aniston's character. And it's just a whole bunch of new is going to happen over at The Morning Show because of the new company that has now been formed after the end of season three. So you can check that out September 17th on Apple TV Plus. Only Murders in the Building is back. It's not firing on all cylinders out of the gate for me, but it's still funny because the three of them together are comedy gold. Obviously, they are investigating Lester's death from the end of last season.
Can I add on to that?
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's not as funny as the previous four seasons yet. It's still funny, though. Like, those three are still gold. And Steve Martin molesting a casket is worth it.
The casket is great.
Just, that's all I'm going to say. That's worth it.
Why was he humping the thing?
Just, it's worth it. I don't want to ruin anybody if you haven't seen it, but I'm telling you, it's worth it to come back for it.
Yeah, that's already down. You probably got about four or five episodes you can get through at this point. Diplomat comes back, 10-16. A lot of drama there at the end of season two. Don't know what's going to happen. A lot of people in hot water. So going to have to see what happens there. Allison Janney's back. Oh my gosh, she's so good as the VP. You're definitely going to want to check this one out for season three. And of course, Stranger Things is going to be hitting the Netflix. So I'll be keeping my subscription all the way through the end of the year, because Thanksgiving Eve, Christmas Day, and New Year's Eve, three mini movies to finish out season five of the Hawkins saga.
Now, so it's what? Thanksgiving Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's
Eve. It's annoying is what it is.
It's annoying.
Where do we feel about this? Wednesday separated their part one and part two, and I can handle part one and part two. I think this is really shitty to a degree.
I think it's cool in the sense of...
Okay.
They're movies. They're not 22-minute shows, like three episodes.
That's true.
Like,
if they end up being made, like movie length,
it's
like
made to be an event, yeah. Right? And if I'm going to do an event, I'm going to be... Because I remember when the Gilmore Girls reunion, right? Winter, spring, summer, fall, dropped. Like, we spent all Friday of Thanksgiving weekend binging the whole thing because we were all together. And we're like, let's just do this instead of going to the theater today, because we usually go to the movie theater on Friday. And so we ended up binging it. So to like be able to sit down Wednesday night, I just getting off the plane, you know, I'm not cooking food yet necessarily, and I can just sit down and just watch Stranger Things on that Wednesday night instead of going to the bar and getting drunk on one of the biggest drinking nights of the year. That seems like a better idea to me. So I will definitely do that. Christmas Day, we usually open up gifts the night before. So yeah, Christmas Day is just kind of like hanging out, doing nothing. Like, let's watch some Stranger Things. New Year's Eve, F that. I do not want to watch the finale on New Year's Eve, the day after my birthday. You should have been on my birthday, because I got stuff to do on New Year's Eve.
Really? Because that's what they should plan it around. Nice.
Yeah. Or do it on New Year's Day.
Well, at least you're looking at it in everybody's perspective.
Yeah. Do it on New Year's Day. Like, New Year's Day is when the finale should be, because
I do agree with that.
I'm going to get spoiled because I'm going to be busy.
We're going to be busy doing stuff. We're going to be making plans, doing things, and then it's going to everybody's going to ruin it. Everyone's going to ruin it. They're going to go online and tell you exactly how it ends. So, no matter what, I'm going to have to watch it first thing on New Year's Eve, whether I want to or not.
So when you're calling your Uber very early in the morning on New Year's Day, don't open up the web browser. Just use the app.
Yeah,
because you will get spoiled.
Yeah, man. But they could have broken it into two parts, or just do it week to week. I mean, I know they don't do that. It's not Netflix's way. But if they're going to be movie length, just make it a movie a week. You know, I mean, they can do whatever they want. They're Netflix.
Well, but where they were dumb is not moving it to New Year's Day, because then you would have gotten a November subscription, a December subscription, and a January subscription.
Look, Troy, I think that they spaced this out specifically to cover those bases. So I think by separating Christmas and New Year's Eve, you do have to have it for 2 months, 2 to 3 months, because you have to have it for the Thanksgiving one. Then you have to have it for Christmas. So you definitely at least have to have 2 months subscription to watch all three.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I don't think they were dumb. I think they got a whole team of people that know how to keep being rich. All right. Is that all of yours?
That is all of mine. Five was the limit, as I was told.
For honorable mentions, I didn't put a limit. Oh, no. Wait. Yeah, yours. Total. You're right.
For the returning shows, you did.
You're right. I don't know why I ignore my own rules. All right. So High Potential is on ABC and Hulu, September 16th, season two. Caitlin Olsen is freaking amazing in that role. I think that's probably the most anticipated TV show of returning. It is, according to our poll in Facebook. It surprised me, but that is the one network show I can't wait to watch every week. I love it. I absolutely love it. She is just, it reminds me a lot of Psych. Has a lot of that vibe where it's just comedy, solve a crime, but it's really more about the relationships and the jokes internally and whatnot. Then you have Gen V for season two. That's coming back to Prime September 17th. So by the time you hear this, it's out or it's started coming out. It comes week to week for that one. The gang learns of a secret program that goes back to the founding of Gatalakan whatever university that may have larger complications than they realize. I'm sure it'll tie into the final season. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if you guys watched the first season, but Gen V was a very pleasant surprise. I expected it to be terrible and it ended up being a great show. So
I'm still stuck on the first 11 minutes of season 3 of The Boys.
Oh my God. You got to catch up, man. Season 4 was
great. I laughed too hard. I hit pause and I never went back.
You got to go back.
I don't know if that's how that works.
Yeah. I don't know if that means it was great. Like, I laughed too hard. I'm done. I'm out. I can't do this. I'm having too good of a time.
I never want to come back again.
I hate my life. I hate this kind of enjoyment.
I told so many people about that episode and I was just like, I'd never want to watch it.
Tracker season 3 is going to be on CBS and Paramount. That the reason why I'm kind of excited about that was, number one, Jensen Ackles is coming back for at least an episode or two. And I think he's great as Colton's brother. But what I don't like about how this show is going is Coulter Shaw is Justin Hartley. He's a star. And Fiona Renee plays Renee Green, is also kind of like the love interest and also co-star. But everyone else is gone. The entire supporting cast has left the show. For whatever the reasons are, we don't know.
Money.
No, it might have been money, but it sounds like it was the show. Like, the show cut them for whatever reason. Like, Eric Grace is... Bobby Exley's gone, Velma's gone, and then Robert Weigert, who was in the first season, she's gone too. So they have no other supporting cast. So, and don't get me wrong, I get it. He's out in the wild. He's trying to save people. You don't really need a ton of supporting characters, but they added an element to the show, I think. And I'm wondering if this is going to be as strong and entertaining as it was when it returns on October 19th. We'll find out. Then you have Fallout season 2 hits December 17th, and that's where we get New Vegas. That was a surprising show. I was shocked how much I love season 1. I mean, I can't wait for Fallout. I don't know why, but I can't wait.
Because it's good. It was good.
I know, but I don't give a shit about that game.
Oh, yeah,
I don't care. People love to say, well, you got to try the game. Nah, I never want to try that game. That game, 50, 60 hours, I have zero desire to play that game. There's nothing you could tell me that would make me interested. And yes, Walton Goggins is what got me in the door, but Walton Goggins isn't what kept me enjoying the show. I actually love this world. I think it's fascinating. So can't wait to see it come back in December. And then lastly, because five's limit, Liam Hemsworth is taking over for Henry Cavill as Geralt of Rivia on October 30th on Netflix. Mm. We finally have that date. That's right. We're going to have Timu Geralt going on. I know people say, hey, give him a chance. I'll give him a chance.
No.
But I saw a clip where I see him in action and chance is easily fading away. I'm letting you know. It does
Henry
not.
Henry Cavill was perfect.
He was perfect.
Perfect.
He had
you can't succeed perfection.
No. I mean, and he doesn't even have the coolness. He very much is like Timu Geralt. He's just walking around and he just looks like, it's like Spirit Halloween had the Witcher costume and some dude just threw it on. That's what this would be. That's what it looks like so far. I hope it's better than that, but it'll be back October 30th and we'll find out. And it's already been renewed for a final season 5. So you're getting two years of a Hemsworth in that costume.
Oh, gee, sign me up.
There you go. All right, Amanda.
Well, the one other show that I had, because unlike y'all, I'm respectful of people's time listening to our show.
I think you just want to get out of here faster.
I do. The Chicago Bears are playing today. Bear down! Landman, season 2. One of my most excited for shows that I have that's coming back, and it's coming to Paramount Plus on November 16th. If you have not seen it, it is fantastic. And basically, you've got this guy who's in charge of all of the oil land in Texas, specifically West Texas. And he's also trying to manage up against cartel leaders that are also using that land. You've got Billy Bob Thornton doing the best Billy Bob Thornton that there is. You got Ali Larter, who's playing his ex-wife. Situation. What else do we call it without spoiling season one?
Well, it's already aired, so I don't really, I'm not too worried about
that's
it.
True.
They're
that's
back
true.
Together. They're back
ex-wife,
together.
Now wife. You got John Hamm and Demi Moore, and there's a nice little business
anyway.
Side of John Hamm. And I will say, even the younger, the children, of Billy Bob Thornton's character, Tommy. He even has, like, they have really great casting in them, too. So Michelle Randolph, who plays his daughter, Ansley, and then Jacob Laughlin, who plays Cooper. Those are really great actors as well. And so it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of comedic chops, a lot of very direct in your face. The things that you would only think in your head, Billy Bob Thornton is saying out loud to everybody. And he almost gives, like, it almost seems like he would do well in an Ozark situation, you know?
I mean, he's a great actor. There's a show he did on Prime called Goliath that was really good. If you've never seen that, it's very much the same character.
I haven't seen that.
It's actually really good. Where he's basically a washed up alcoholic lawyer who goes up against major corporations. And the first two seasons are great. Third season is solid. I haven't seen the fourth season. I never finished it, but he's great in that role. I disagree on the kids. I'm sick of their storylines already. I'm just the daughter. Okay, I get it. She's frisky. Whatever. She feels very much like Taylor Sheridan's every episode kind of girl. It feels like he's always got this exact type in all of his shows where it's like hot blonde does dumb things or says weird things. And then Allie Larder is very much like the assertive, aggressive hot blonde that he always has in his show. It's becoming a weird caricature of his. And I don't know why, but I love Allie Larder. I think she's great in the show. And I love Lion Man.
She is.
I was very surprised how much I like that show. And I'm going to mention Boston Blue just because I know John was a big fan of Blue Bloods. So I'm going to mention this because that is the spinoff of Blue Bloods. And it comes out October 17th on CBS. And it's basically going to Boston. It's going to have a new family. So if you like that show, then I'm sure you'll like that new one. I don't care about this at all, but by God, Donnie Wahlberg, good for you. You got a career. Now here are the listener top five. You guys ready? So I have the listener from our Facebook poll, what their top five most new and returning, what their top five most anticipated shows of the fall TV season are. Number five is Black Rabbit. Four is Task, which surprises me. But if you look on HBO Max, like Mayor of Easttown is now back in their top 10. Like, I mean,
I see it.
I think people just love Mayor of Easttown. They want to give Task a shot. Three is High Potential, the only network show on the list.
Wow.
The only network TV show on the list. Welcome to Derry is number two. So that is a very anticipated one. And I'll give you one guess what number one is.
Stranger Things.
Troy?
New show?
Nope. New or returning.
Stranger Things.
It has to be Stranger Things.
It's Stranger Things.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, what else could it be?
But I will tell you, Welcome to Derry is much closer than I expected.
Honestly, that doesn't surprise me, though.
It surprises the hell out of me. I really didn't think people would care about a TV show. But why doesn't it surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me because if you think about it, there's so much similarity to Stranger Things in terms of having, you know, a big monster character in there, having something that's scary, having something, especially the timing of it. Think about it. We're in fall. We're around Halloween season. You get to expand on the story. You get to see some different characters and actors. So, like, I think people just love it. In general, and they love Pennywise and It around Halloween.
That's fair. Okay. So we all agree Stranger Things is the number one show we're most excited about. We just don't like the release pattern.
Actually, it's not my number one.
Well, mine's Black Rabbit, but Stranger Things is pretty close to that.
And you don't like the release strategy?
No, I don't like, not, no. I'd be fine if they did it week to week. I just think breaking it up like that is kind of annoying.
It's too drawn out. I'm the type, I like to binge it. I want to binge it because especially there's so much content and things to remember that I would rather just watch it back to back. You forcing me to watch it in segments is really frustrating because now I have to watch it several times to remember everything that happened the last time and then wait a month for the rest of it and then wait another week for the rest of that. Like, it's just annoying.
And you know what's going to happen. Is there going to have like, because it's four episodes first, then three, then one, right? That's how it's rolling out in each of those.
Annoying.
Yeah, it is. But because what's going to happen is they're going to release, people aren't going to be able to watch them until that night or maybe the weekend because people have lives, they have jobs and stuff like that. And the people that don't have that problem or they, you know, they work different hours or whatever, they're going to get on the online and spoil the hell out of everything that happens. So every cool element will be spoiled by the time you get to watching it. All of them.
By the time you wake up.
Yeah, probably.
Like, you can't, even if you're just somebody.
Freaking people that will literally just stay up to watch it so they can ruin it for everybody else. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
And why are you like that? If you listen to this show, why are you
None of our
like
listeners
that?
Do that. They're all you're better right. people. You guys are good humans. I know it.
Do you know how you don't get spoiled?
Oh, geez. Here we go. Tell me the algorithm and how you got a degree in it. Go ahead.
You just stay off the internet.
Because anyone can do that.
Spend time with your family. Is not it's the holiday. It's the holiday.
Nobody wants to spend time with their family. Nobody wants. Everybody is going to spend wink, wink, nod, nod quotations. Spend time with their family in front of the TV watching Stranger Things. That's what they're going
to
do.
Go to the theater and buy popcorn until you can have a chance to watch it.
I do agree with that.
There's lots of options to avoid being spoiled.
I just found out Wake Up Dead Man is going to get a theatrical exclusive release for like 2 weeks before it comes to Netflix, and it's coming out Thanksgiving, so I will be with my family at that week, and I'm hoping we can all go as a family to see that and then come back and watch Stranger Things. Maybe make a turkey. I don't know. I haven't decided.
You have to make a turkey.
And then watch Stranger Things.
I make a bomb turkey. Oh my God.
What is a bomb turkey? Does it explode?
We change these holidays. You know, we don't have to like, you know, honor tradition and history and all that stuff since the world is changing.
You want to do new ones?
That's the only time I like turkey. So
it's the only time anyone likes turkey.
I like turkey wraps for lunch.
All right, bear down, babies.
Okay, let's go. Hey guys, thanks for listening. That's a lot of fall TV. If you need to know what the titles were that we talked about, go start at the beginning of this episode and start again. And then you can listen to it and make sure you write them all down. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week. Have a wonderful time. And remember, the next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably on your couch watching all this great TV, there's a lot of great television and great movies coming out. We'll talk about those in a later episode, probably in October. Buy popcorn. Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider Podcast. Welcome to the Hollywood... What are we called?